We go first today to that story at the, of the protest at Trinity College Dublin, where students set up an encampment last night with a vow to remain there indefinitely in order to pressure the university into cutting all ties with Israel. They've blockaded access to the old library, that's the building that houses the Book of Kells, and the Trinity College campus is now closed to the public. We understand there is both a security and a Garda presence there. The Trinity Students' Union has already been fined about 200,000 euro for protests over recent months on a number of issues, including the war on Gaza. I've been speaking to Laszlo Molnárfi, who's president of the Students' Union at Trinity. He began by telling me what happened last night and since.
Yesterday, students and staff at Trinity College Dublin have launched a solidarity encampment with Gaza. We have about 70 people with 43 tents. We've also indefinitely blockaded the Book of Kells. The reason we are doing this is to put an end to the genocide in Gaza. It is to stand up against the brutal oppression of the Palestinian people that has been ongoing for 75 years by asking Trinity College Dublin to cut ties from Israel, to divest from Israel and condemn the genocide. We're also asking Trinity College Dublin to support Palestinian scholars.
Is this an official students' union action? Was it balloted on in the students' union executive, or is there an official mandate, I suppose, to carry out this action?
The Trinity BDS group is a subgroup of the Trinity Students' Union. Our Trinity BDS mandate was voted in on 2018 with an overwhelming majority of students voting in favor of a boycott, divestment and sanctions stance. Boycott, divestment, sanctions is essentially a call that was launched by Palestinian civil society in 2005 for a complete economic blockade of Israel.
Now the Trinity has decided to levy a fine of 215,000 euro on the Students' Union. Is this action an action of the Students' Union or the Trinity BDS group? And if so, you know, would you have any concerns as to where the fine is being levied?
The bill is a clear attempt at suppressing the student voice. Because the student voice is growing, because our forces are growing, not just at Trinity, not just in Ireland, but all across the world, the cause for Palestinian liberation is spreading like a wildfire. This, we will not be intimidated by this bill.
So how long more are you going to keep this up?
Indefinitely, until our demands are met.
And the student or the university has told security personnel that the college would reopen to the public on Tuesday. Until then, only staff members and students may enter the campus. Do you read from that that there will be an attempt to provide access again to the Book of Kells for the public before Tuesday?
We can't know for sure. But university management would do well to be careful in avoiding a further escalation. Yeah. Every time that they have tried, they failed, and we have only grown stronger. We are staying there until our demands are met, and we will resist if they try to move us or stop the blockade.
Have they offered you any compromise?
They are looking into divesting from three UN blacklisted companies in the endowment fund. But there is many, many more Israeli companies in the endowment fund, as well as contracts with Israeli companies and the academic ties.
Do you know the identities of all of the companies that Trinity has links with?
Of course, we do. Freedom of information requests have been made. The information is on Trinity BDS.
Okay. And given that Israel has access to the Horizon European Research Fund, do you expect Trinity to withdraw from projects that are associated with that? Or is it this just all bilateral links with Israeli projects, companies and academics?
You know, the model that we see as being a good model is the University of Galway's response. University of Galway has condemned the genocide, condemned settler colonialism and apartheid, and has committed to reviewing all of its ties to Israeli institutions. And of course, when we say boycott, divestment, sanctions, we don't mean you have to do things that would be illegal. For example, getting out of a contract that you can't get out of without penalties in legislation, but we do mean taking every possible step, which Trinity hasn't done, taking every possible step to beginning the process of complete divestment from Israel wherever applicable.
And that was President of the Trinity College Students' Union, Laszlo Molnárfy, speaking to me there. Now, we did contact Trinity College this morning, and as of yet, we've got no response from TCD. They're obviously welcome to still contact us during the length, at least, of this item, if they do want to provide a response. We did also ask, we sought clarity from them on the nature of their current links to Israeli companies, but we didn't receive an answer to that either. And in a statement to RTE News, Trinity said, it supports the students' right to protest, but they said protests must be conducted within the rules of the university. Well, I want to introduce you to the political panel joining us here this weekend. They're John McGahan, Fine Gael Senator, and Shannon, spokesperson on climate, communications, energy and natural resources. Roisin Shortall, Social Democrats TD for Dublin North West, and her party spokesperson on health, finance, public expenditure and reform. And Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent TD for Roscommon Galway. He's in our Athlone studio. Good afternoon to you all. Thanks very much for joining us. Can I get your reaction to this, first of all, John McGahan, the student protest in Trinity, how it's been conducted and the fine that's been levied on the students' union?
Yeah, I think from a student union perspective, student leaders come in for a one-year term. Within that 1 year, they want to make a big impact. It's clear from listening to the president there and the fines that have been racked up, he's made quite an impact. But what I would say is, you know, for me listening to that there, absolutely entitled to protest, absolutely to raise an issue which we're all on the same side on. And as long as those issues can be raised, while still the same bread and butter issues that are affecting students in Trinity and across universities, like accommodation, like funding models, as long as those issues are equally being addressed by a student union in Trinity, I think that's key that that continues. And what I would say is that...
So you're saying don't protest to the point that a students union through fines might have its ability to address bread and butter issues undermined.
They equally have a commitment to the student body that elected them. They equally have that commitment to continue to represent students along with focusing on issues like this. And what I would just say from listening to him there, and I took down a few of the quotes, supporting Palestinian scholars, I think that makes sense. When he then says that we want to cut all ties, well, give me some specific examples. I know he mentioned some companies there. He directed us to a website. To me, listening to that, it was a little bit vague. I think it would be so much more easier if they came out quite clearly to say, here's X amount of companies, here's the business, here's the contracts, we want to cut ties there. Directing us to a website to look at maybe isn't the most efficient way of doing that. But look, I support the right to protest. We're all on the same page with what's happening in Gaza and Palestine. As long as the same bread and butter issues that affect students right. in the Trinity body are being adhered to as well, I think that's fair enough.
You'd accept that you're not quite on the same page then, because he's advancing the boycott, divestment, sanctions argument, and the government so far has not supported the likes of the Occupied Territories Bill, which is only concentrating on companies that are based in the occupied territories.
I'm happy to chat about it from a government perspective, but from a Trinity perspective, which is what they're calling for, and I quote, I've taken down what he said, we are going to be in here indefinitely until all of our demands are met, and if any resistance is offered, further escalation will happen. Like, I don't really know what that language means, you know? So I think if they just are quite clear what they want to do, give us clear examples of how they want ties to be cut between Trinity College and Israel or Israeli companies or Israeli boards or whatever it is, and then that's something we can have a discussion about and see can we support.
All right, Michael Fitzmaurice, what's your view on what you've just heard there?
Yeah, I just read a bit about it this morning. First thing is, everyone has the right to protest. The only thing, unless I picked it up wrong, I heard that they had tents and are they in on private property? Because obviously you have a right to protest in a public place, but if Trinity College owns it, they own that area. I would be concerned, and I want to be very clear on this. Everyone condemns what Hamas done. Everyone condemns the slaughter of innocent people in Palestine. There isn't one person that doesn't condemn that. But I do think that if you are protesting, maybe outside the Dáil, people have protests in fairness along O'Connell Street. But we need to watch as well that there are tourists coming to this country. And if I was in a place and I went in to see something and it was blocked, and you'll remember that. We need to balance this right. By all means, you're entitled to protest. By all means, in what they're saying, they're actually correct in relation to the war that's going on, and the way Israel has treated innocent people. But you need to make sure that basically you don't do harm either to the likes of tourism in this country.
All right, but I suppose if Trinity College, one of its main sources of income is through the Book of Kells, and the students don't protest in somewhere that's going to get prominence, what's the point of protest at all?
Well, the simple facts about it is students are there for an education, and they're looking, you know, a college doesn't survive without their money either from their income streams. Students will be doing exams shortly. And, you know, right, if exams were cancelled, wouldn't there be war altogether about what's going on in Trinity College? So you have to balance this. By all means, they have a right to protest. I'm not saying they don't have a right to protest, but we've got to make sure that, you know, the likes of the Book of Kells or whatever, in my opinion, people should have access to it.
All right, Roisin Shorthall, what's your view of this this protest?
First of all, I think the president of the Students' Union was very clear about what their demands are. There's no ambiguity there, I think. And, you know, it's very understandable. Young people and everybody else have been watching now since last October what's been going on in Gaza. And, I mean, I think most right-thinking people are absolutely horrified at the extent of the massacre involved in this, 34,000 people killed in Gaza, including 14,000 innocent children. And, you know, people are taking a stand now and they want action. And we haven't seen the kind of action that should be taken at European level or indeed at the level of the Irish government. There's been a lot of words of condemnation, but we need actions taken. And what's happening in Trinity is mirrored in a number of our other universities, and indeed is mirrored in universities across the states and in many other countries. So there seems to be no meeting of minds between the Students' Union and the authorities in Trinity. And there are clear areas where there needs to be, you know, conversation on this. They need to sit down and look at the situation in relation to, for example, engagement between academics in Trinity and academics in Israel. And there seems to be no guidelines in relation to that. Right. I saw.
Do you support the aims of this protest, the boycott, divestment, look, sanctions aims?
I think there needs to be negotiation on this between the college authorities and the Students' Union in relation to, for example, investments in Israeli companies. A number of those companies are on the UN blacklist. Now, how do you justify then Trinity continuing with those investments? And the idea then, where rather than sitting down and talking with the Students' Union, the idea of the authorities slapping a huge fine on the Students' Union is not going to achieve any resolution of this issue at all.
Do you mind me asking, just before we're going to take a break shortly, but I just want to ask you about, I suppose, an issue of your own within your own party. You've chosen to deselect a candidate who is a German Jew, who's an Israeli citizen, who was slated to run for you in the Dunleary local election area, and she's not going to be running anymore. There's a kind of a couple of versions of that, but the Israeli embassy has pitched in and condemned the deselection, describing it as discrimination. What is the reason she's been deselected?
I think we've been very clear about that. We selected this candidate last summer. Over recent months, there was disagreement over the position that the party has taken. The party has taken a very strong position in relation to Palestine, and we have pursued that in the Dáil on numerous occasions. Now, the candidate in question had a difficulty with the position that the party had taken. We tried to resolve that. There was a very long and extensive process put in place to try and resolve those differences. It was clear that the candidate's views didn't align with the party position.
On what specifically?
Well, in relation to Palestine and our strong support for Palestine. And, you know, and there was a dispute about, for example, the use of the Palestinian flag at marches that the party would have participated
now
in.
She disputes that she objected to the use of any flag.
Well, look, over a long period, we tried to resolve this, including in engaging a person to come in as a mediator. And unfortunately, those efforts failed. And it got to the point where the person's candidacy was not sustainable, and the decision was taken to deselect her. I was very surprised at the idea of an ambassador, the Israeli ambassador, interfering really in an internal party matter.
Why? She's an Israeli citizen.
But she might have picked up the phone and contacted the party to ask what actions had the party taken. Do you know, and she didn't do that. It was entirely a one-sided thing. But is it appropriate for an ambassador to engage in an internal matter within a party?
All right.
So look, we made a lot of efforts to try and resolve this issue. We couldn't. That wasn't possible in the end. And we deselected the candidate. It's unfortunate, but that's the situation.
OK, we're going to have a look. We're going to come back. We're going to have a look at the EU Asylum and Migration Pact next. And senior Irish woman, a senior Amnesty International director who's an Irish woman working in Brussels is going to give her view on that.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.